Well, welcome to Summers at Genesis Church. Am I the only one who just felt like that time of worship was so good? And so it was just so good to get to sing, yes. So good to get to be in the presence of God together. If you're a guest here with us, you're joining us. We couldn't be happier that you're here. As already been shared, this is a church where everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect, and we believe anything's possible. In fact, we have a rhythm where we really enjoy just taking a moment to say thank you for joining us. And so, church family, would you just please give a nice, warm welcome to all of our guests? Say thank you for being here today. I want to let you know, next week is a big week here at Genesis Church. We are having Cody, who is a part of Kaleo, Student Mobilization. You may have noticed that we've had the privilege of having over 20 students here with us in our church and over 200 here in South Baldwin. Cody will be speaking, and he's going to be speaking on having an eternal perspective. And so make sure to join us next week. If you have a Bible with you, whether that's digital, print, I want to invite you to make your way over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and Psalm 23. Both of these are in the Old Testament. And if you're unfamiliar with your Bible but you brought it, please look in the table of contents. You'll find it there, or ask someone who is around you. Now, while you're turning over there, I'm curious how you deal with surprises. There are some of you in this room that whenever there's a surprise, it brings great anxiety to you. In fact, you don't like surprises at all. Others of you like live for surprises. You live for surprises. I'm somewhere in between. I love getting surprised with monetary gifts. I love surprise birthday parties and things like that. So if you want to surprise me with like maybe a 7-day getaway to Hawaii, please, I would be more than happy to receive that. Here's what I've been learning in my life, and specifically as we've journeyed together, unpacking and working through the Ten Commandments, is that God loves to surprise his people in unexpected places, in unexpected ways, which ultimately stretch their faith and bring them to greater amounts of joy and even greater opportunities to glorify God. And so when we enter into Exodus chapter 20, here's what I want you to think about this morning. We are seeing a people who have been surprised by the goodness of God. Here's what's been taking place in case you're new. We come into Exodus chapter 20, and the people of God have been in bondage, captivity, and slavery for over 400 years. That's four centuries. Generations have been born and generations have died in slavery. God uses an ordinary man named Moses in a very extraordinary way to go in and to set the people free through miracles, and he brings them toward this new and promised land. It's actually a beautiful picture, because what's taking place is God is setting his people free to return them to home. This is actually a great larger picture, by the way, when we talk about the gospel, that God sent his son to free us and to bring us at home with him. And so that's actually what's taking place here. They are being freed, and although they are set free, it's another thing to live free. And so God meets them in the desert on the journey. I want to just continue to encourage us this morning. You may be here today and you feel like God has forgotten about you. You may be here and you just feel like, when I look at my circumstance, when I look at my situation, it's like God has forgotten about me. This is a great reminder that our God does not forget. That even in the moments where we are faithless, our God is faithful. I remind you today, God has not forgotten about you. I also remind you today, do not get discouraged at the journey. The destination is vitally, eternally, and significantly important. But God is also interested in who you are becoming. The journey is important too. Don't lose discouragement and allow it to eat up your life while you're on the journey. God wants to do something in your life on the journey. It's on the journey that God molds us, and he shapes us, and he prepares us, and he meets with us. And that's exactly what happens here in Exodus chapter 20. We're going to kind of take a large picture of this morning, and it's been a little while since we just kind of walked through this. So Exodus chapter 20, we'll read from verse 1, and we're going to go all the way to verse 17 this morning. In verse 1, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. God's just saying, don't forget, all the grace you have received is because of my goodness in your life. I brought you out. I'm the one who didn't forget about you. I do not have any other gods beside me. Do not make an idol of yourself, whether in the shape of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow in worship to them and do not serve them. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Verse 12 in our house is the passage that we have our children memorize from now until they die. Here it is, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so there it is. It's set before us. The first of four commandments are all about our vertical relationship with God. The next six are all horizontal. It's about loving God, and it's about loving others. And plenty of people have come to the Ten Commandments, and they've looked at the Ten Commandments, and maybe you feel this way right now, as if God is after limiting us or God is stingy. God, what are you doing here? Why are you in my business telling me what to do? It's my life. Let me live it however I want to live it. And so plenty of times people have said, this is all about God limiting us from these wonderful, pleasurable experiences. But I want to continue to remind us that God's not after limiting us, he's after liberating us. That God's not stingy, but generous. This is not a checklist on how to earn the approval of God. It's not that at all. This is given to the people of God to help them live in freedom as the people of God. And so God is after their joy. He's after teaching them what it means not just to live in freedom, to be people who are sent on mission and glorify him. And so this is what is displayed here. And you might not see it at first, but here's what I'm starting to see. 8 weeks ago, we started this series. We looked at the Ten Commandments for the first time. And here's what I'm discovering. I'm discovering that God loves to surprise us, to surprise us with his goodness. And I'm seeing this here. Let me just share with you three quick observations. One is, who's the person who leads the people out of Egypt toward this new and promised land? His name is Moses, right? Moses. His name wasn't always Moses. He was a Hebrew baby that was born in Egypt. And there was a Pharaoh who was a dictator at the time, and he decided that he would take the life of all male Hebrew children. What a circumstance. You can't even imagine. I can't. I mean, his mom is just crushed by this. And so his mom takes this little Hebrew baby who would become Moses, and she puts him in the river, in a specific river, so that other people would find him. This is the first time we see adoption happen in Scripture. Moses is actually the first case study of adoption. And who finds him? It's Pharaoh's daughter. His mom's watching to make sure everything's okay. Pharaoh's daughter actually brings him in. And we know that he's raised with tremendous privilege. He becomes one of the most influential people in all of Egypt. Think about this. Moses was sentenced to die, and yet God surprised that family with his goodness and gave him life. Now, he rescued a group of people. 400 years. I mean, that's four centuries that you're in slavery. Moses has a tremendous issue in his life. He makes a mistake. He takes the life of someone else. He runs into the desert. God doesn't forget about him. God meets him in the desert. Maybe you're here today and you feel like, I've done too much in my life for God to have any interest in me. Moses is a great case study. God meets Moses. He molds Moses. He sends him back to actually go to Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, I want you to let God's people go. Now, I want you to think about this. Over 1 million people who are part of Egypt's workforce. hey, I want all your workers to leave. That probably wouldn't go over that well, right? And Moses, rightfully so, says, who do you want me to say sends me? And God says, just say, I am. What a bold name. Just tell him the I am sends you. We know what happens. There is miracles that occur. This group of people are not thinking about God and what happens. They are surprised by the goodness of God. The Ten Commandments. You may look at this and say, well, this is God sharing with the people. What's the big deal? Well, Exodus is a foreshadow of Matthew. Exodus, when we read it, is meant to get us to think about the birth of Christ. For 400 years, there were these silent years, and then Jesus was born. Now, we're in Exodus, and what happens? This group of people have been in captivity for 400 years. We can't miss this. It's not just about captivity. It's about not hearing from the voice of God. They haven't heard from God. No prophets come. No leaders come. No revealed will of God. It is just silence. And then God rescues them. He brings them to the desert. And the Ten Commandments are a signature of God speaking to his people. They are a signature of God expressing his revealed will to them. We may not get this, but this is a group of people who would hunger and thirst for the voice of God. They remembered the whole world was created because God spoke. And now, here they are. The Ten Commandments are many things, but they are evidence of being surprised by the goodness of God. Moses is getting this. Moses is learning this. We fast forward. I don't want you to turn over there, but in Exodus chapter 33, the story continues. Moses has this dynamic encounter with God, and Moses, it says, pursues God's face, not his hands. We are so used to pursuing the hands of God. This is kind of metaphorical language to say we're interested in pursuing what God can provide for us. But Moses is not that guy. Moses is interested in pursuing God for God. Moses is interested in the presence of God. He pursues, it says, his face. This is this picture of deep, beautiful relationship. And in this experience, Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses said, please let me see your glory. I love Moses. Moses is so bold. I mean, can you just imagine that before the living God? I don't know what that was like. He said, I want to see all of you. And God doesn't show him all of him. Instead, this is what he says. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Moses, you want my glory. I'm going to do a miracle. You can't handle my glory, but I will give you some of my goodness. Surprised by the goodness of God. If we had an opportunity to sit down with David, David would say, I remember that day that here I am in my teenage years out working on a shepherd's field, not thinking at all about this possibility of being the king of Israel, because after all, there was a king that was appointed, but who shows up? His name's Samuel, and God has other plans, and he anoints me in my high school years to be king. And I gotta wait, and it's gonna get real crazy. I don't have the credentials. I can't bring anything to the table. And then he finds himself penning a psalm that you've heard maybe all your life. What's the end of Psalm 23? Verse 4, even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Look at this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, if we could sit with the Apostle Paul, who had a mission to take those who were Christ followers and put them in jail, and some of them were put to death. And on a road, God intervenes in his life. And later he would write a letter to a place he never had the privilege of visiting. And this is what he would say, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, second half. Do you not know? It is the goodness or kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's all about the goodness of God, which begs this question. If that's true, and God loves to surprise us with his goodness, why in the world do we have to wait? Anyone ever get frustrated in waiting? I don't pretend to know the answers. Let me just share with you one example that I've been thinking about. Could it be that God is preparing us more than he's preparing something for us? Could it be that God's preparing us more than he's preparing something for us? Could it be we say, God, we're ready, and God goes, I don't know how to tell you this, you're not ready. You think you are, you're not. It's actually dangerous for you if you're not ready. But let me just give you an example. I have a little son who's almost 3 months now, and then we have a daughter who is 4, going on 47. Imagine if I came to her and I put our son in the car and I put my daughter in the car and I gave her the keys to my car, I turned it on, and I just said, hey, I want you to go to the store. I would like a nice cold Diet Coke, and can you go to the store and bring that back? Do you think that would be a good idea or a bad idea? That would be a very bad and dangerous idea. You would not want to be on the road with my daughter driving, neither would I. Now, she could say, oh, this is such a blessing, but I look at it and I would say, this isn't a blessing, this is going to be a burden. Fast forward. Now my daughter is 18 and my son would be 14. And imagine that I came to them and I said, I want you to go to the store. I kept that car. Store's right down the road. I put them in there. This time it wouldn't be Diet Coke. It'd be something like Tylenol or ibuprofen for all the pain you've caused me. And I want you to go to the store. I want you to get something for me. What's changed? There's still a store. There is a road. And there's a car. The only thing that's changed in the scenario is the readiness of my daughter. Here's my point. There are things we think we're so ready for, and God goes, you're not ready. I'm preparing you more than I'm preparing something for you. That happens in our life. But here's what I'll tell you. When God loves to surprise us with his goodness, he will help us along the way. I had a conversation with someone from San Diego who was a part of our church family. He called and said, I don't know what to do. He said, I was just working along, and someone called me from another company. And so anyway, they wanted to go out for dinner. I went out to dinner. The very next day, I receive a package in the mail offering me a job, and the job is $30,000 more than what I'm making. What should I do? I said, first, you have a first world problem. Second, if you choose not to take that, send that offer over to me. I'd like to check it out a little bit. Third is, man, this looks like an opportunity. Because I'm looking at this, that you're surprised by the goodness of God. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to do anything with it. It just means that you were surprised by his goodness. I asked him, I said, what would it look like for you to honor the place that you're at? What about going and just sharing and just having an open heart? You never know what can happen. He said, I'm nervous. And I said, you should be. It's a pretty big deal. And so anyway, I got a text message on Friday from him. He said, I went in and I shared, and you won't believe this. I had no idea, but my supervisor had these large plans for me. He not only matched what I was going to get offered, he even gave me more. And I'm going to have a different position than I had. I said, that's fantastic. Just tithe the Genesis Church, please. We'd love. I'm just kidding. I was just joking. But he was thanking me, and he was saying, you know, I really felt like God met me while I was talking with my boss. I said, that's how God loves to work. He surprises us with his goodness. He doesn't just bring us to places, church. He also brings us through places. He loves to walk with us every step of the way, every part of the journey. And we see a God surprising us with his goodness in his word. If I were to stop and ask you stories about God surprising you with his goodness, we would be here all day. I know there are so many stories treasured here in this place. I want to share another one of them. For those of you who call this place home, you know we sent out an email this week and let you know last week that we wanted to take a moment and share some things that were going on. So 8 weeks ago, we start this series. It was 8 weeks ago that I also received the phone call on May 7th. The phone call was from a local pastor in Daphne. And I met him one time. I met him whenever in December we had the opportunity to be able to get some equipment and get chairs that you're actually sitting on from what was at the time a campus of Coastal Church about 5 miles away. And so I'm talking with him. Said, hey, how you doing? He says, you know, I've been thinking about you. I woke up. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your church. And I want to ask you something. Remember that facility that we took everything out of? We don't own it anymore, but it was designed for a church and a church with a preschool. Would you consider buying it? And I'll be honest with you, I laughed. I said, no, we wouldn't consider buying it. He said, what would it take? And I said, what it would take is a miracle. It would take an only God story. The very next day, I am meeting with someone who's in our church in Foley. And afterwards, I'm in my car, and I'm praying for our church. And I just pray, God, would you allow us to be a part of only God stories? I receive a notice that said someone had called that morning from Angela, who's a part of our preschool leadership team. So I called them back. The person on the other end of the phone was a prominent business owner in the Gulf Coast. He shared with me that they do different car areas, and so they were awarded a Nissan dealership, which will be in our area in March. He said he was talking to a friend, and anyway, wanted to call and see if we wouldn't mind selling this place to him. And I said, it's not for sale. So thank you for the call. We're not listing the place or anything like that. He said, do you mind if I just come by and look at this place? Sure. He shows up. I'm not exaggerating. It was like a fleet of Suburbans. There were so many people that got out of this. You can ask our preschool team, because when they walked in, it was obvious he wasn't just looking around. He said, oh, we could take out this wall. We could do this. Our preschool team is looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Now, calm down. So I gathered that entire team right here in our worship center. We were in a circle. I said to them, I don't know if I didn't make it clear enough, but we are not selling our place. You said you wanted to come look at it. And so I want to make sure that we're clear. Fast forward, week later, calls, says, hey, I would really like to buy it. You tell me what you want. I'll bring you the cash on Monday. And I thought for a moment, and I said, $100 million. I wish I would have thought, but I didn't. That would have been pretty good, right? I just said, I'm sorry, no. Just so you know, I don't make unilateral decisions. I'm a part of an elder board. We're governed by an elder board. You're welcome to reach out to them. I can bring something to them if you want, but we're not looking further. And so he decides to. He calls me, says, here's an offer that I would like for you to bring to the elder board. And he doesn't live in this area, so he just looked at taxes and things like that. And so I said, hey, can we do this? Can we just sit down face-to-face for a moment? And so at that point in time, I had shared with our board, someone on our board, who you'll hear from in just a moment, remembers this person because they were giving their testimony for the first time at Alberta Alliance Church. So almost 20 years ago. We sat down face to face. I just said, I just want to let you know, I want to honor you. I know you're a follower of Jesus. I'm not going to take this to our board. I think it's highly distracting. And in any way, if there was anything on that, and it would have to be abundantly generous. And I just appreciate that, but that's where, you know, it'll go. Went back to our board. We were all kind of on the same page on that end. Fast forward. Now we're at Memorial Day. Get another call. It says, I'd like for you to take this offer to your board. This offer was, in my opinion, a really generous offer. It's probably what this place would go for. I said I'd be happy to take this to our board, but just so you know, my particular voice, and that's all it is going to be a no. I just letting you know ahead of time, that's what this will be. We sat down as a team, and we prayed about it. I got to tell you, I love what God's doing at our church, and I love our elder board, and we will be expanding that in the future days, but I love the heart. We gathered together with our hands. We prayed about John 17, about being a team that above anything else is over unity. You know, you have people like Victor, who is weeping for lost people. That does something to my heart. I just loved it. And I said, you know, sometimes when God brings things to us, it's just for dreaming purposes. Inside of that conversation, I was asked, and we talked about it, what would it take? What do you think would be like, wow, that we should explore this further? I wrote some things down on a sheet of paper. Took some time. I said, from my perspective, if this took place, I'd be like, wow, that's crazy. But we kind of laughed, that will not happen, you know? And so, at that time, fast forward, this is now 14 days, roughly, ago. Talked to this person one more time, and they said, hey, would you reconsider that offer that I gave? We said, no. They said, what about this? We said, no. What about this? We said, no. He said, I want to talk to our leadership team and check out some things, but for the last kind of time, what about this particular offer? Would you take that to the team? So I said, I absolutely will. I hung up the phone, and I'm trying to be as transparent as I can. Nate can attest to this. I was like, oh my, I did not see that coming. It was very surprising to me, and why it was so surprising is what I wrote down on that paper was happening before my eyes. We had a letter from the other location that shared with us where their property was and what was going on there. And as we looked at this, we were blown away, to be honest with you. So I want to share with you a few things. One is, we were rallied around God's word, and here are the things that as a team, we have been praying and processing, and we're talking literally 14 days old. Has been growing since May 7th, but really any seriousness is 14 days ago, really. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you will have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. We prayed, God, if this is a door you have for us, let no one shut it. Isaiah 43, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not know? Do you not perceive it? I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This has been kind of our prayer. There has been nothing on our end at all about making this happen or pursuing it. John 10, and I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. So as a team, I want to come back to those things I wrote down on the paper, and I know I'm being long-winded. The things that we wrote down were that if we could transition from this place to that place debt-free, we would consider it. If we could transition from that place to this place and have significant margins, we cannot disclose financials at this time. All I can say is they are significant. If we could transition from that place to this place and then, Lord willing, have something in reserve so that at some future time we could help establish a church in Alberta where this church first started, that would be something that would warm our heart. And a few other things as well. And so I'm sharing it with you. I want to show you and simply want to allow you to get a little bit of a picture. And before I do, here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to bring our elder board, Kathy, our preschool director, and I'm also going to ask Kenny Heil to be up here as well as one of our worship leaders, Dan. And I just want you to hear from them. I want you to know that we are currently embarking in a process of discovery, that there is no done deal on this. It's something that we are interested in, and we are prayerfully looking forward to discovering more. I want you to also know that I'm really, really curious. What you won't see on here is there is an entire area that is fully set aside for a preschool and is optimized for that. And I'll share a couple of other details, but I just want you to see for a moment, and then I'm going to ask the team to come up, and I'm just going to ask them a few questions, and then from there, we're going to get a chance to sing, but they're also going to be up here so that you can come and ask some questions. For us, church, this is about a process of discovery. I am sensing that God is at work, and so I'm really curious what he wants to do in our church. So with that being said, will you take a moment just to watch this very, very short video and we'll take a moment to chat a little further.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity and privilege just to share